Would you pray for the message this morning?
Sure, I'd love to. Well, let's pray. Lord, we come to you in the wonderful name of Jesus, and we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for the fact that your word speaks to us, and we thank you for your servant, Paul, who's bringing us the message this morning. And Lord, we thank you for changing our life as we hear your word and we receive it with faith and we apply it to our lives. We thank you that our lives can be different. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use this message in a powerful way and especially use it for our dear moms today. We thank you again for the faithfulness of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Ainsley, thank you. It's always fun to be able to greet our dear guests and those who are part of Hope Chapel. So have a wonderful Mother's Day. We're going to celebrate today, and especially at our 10 a.m. in-person service at the Hub Tent. So I'm going to just escort you off just so politely. God bless you. Come again. Well, once again, as we take a look, I'm inviting you to go ahead and take your Bibles in hand. And as you do, make sure that you consider writing things down, because we are in part two of our series, Courage to Face Our Fears. And we're looking at a specific fear today, the fear of not having enough. The fear of not having enough. It's interesting, coming from this past year, where you found that there were times where people were starting to hoard things, stockpile things. You just saw something. I mean, how much toilet paper does one person actually need? I mean, even guns and ammos were stockpiled. You cannot buy ammo nowadays. I have even gone up to Oregon, and you know, and you can't buy ammo in Walmart there, or what they call Bi-Mart. You know, something's going on. What is happening with regards to people who are afraid of not having enough of something? So it's amazing that that fear can literally drive people, and we are facing that fear today. The title of the message, Our Fear of Not Having Enough. I'm opening my Bible to Matthew chapter 6. So I'm going to encourage you, if you would, to find Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin with verse 27. Because Jesus knew that this specific fear, the fear of not having enough, relates to every person. And that's why we're bringing it up today. And you thought, what kind of a message is that on Mother's Day? Well, knowing the wonderful tendency of every human being, but specifically our ladies, every woman wants to have a feeling of security, a feeling of just feeling safe, that consistency, that expected provision that would come to them. And I'm hoping that this message will be a relief and a encouragement to everybody, but especially maybe you who are with us here that are feeling like, wow, I just feel unsafe because there's provisions that I had once counted on, and it's not seeming to be as consistent as I once was wanting. So Jesus is taking a look at that. What do we do when facing the fear of not having enough? Have my Bible in hand, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It's a lengthy portion of Scripture. We'll break it down a little bit, but the Lord's going to help us. I'm so excited. He knows our human tendency. Here we go. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for you will either hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough. That's where I picked up the title of the message, for food and drink, or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. And yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderful for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly take care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Well, I just want to highlight so many times, and I'm grateful as we look, just a little side note, because sometimes people take my messages and they'll say, well, I'm going to bring it to a teaching point. And I just want to highlight a little bit of a thought about the, really, I call it the five worries of humanity. Here's just a little note, because our emphasis is on facing our fears, but the five worries, I call them the five F's. Here they are. Just list them quickly and then we'll move on. The worry about finances. Can you see that there? Verse 24. The worry about food. There it is. Verse 25. The worry about fitness. There it is. Verse 27. The worry about fashion. In verse 28. And then the worry about future in verse 34. So Jesus was talking these words about making sure, don't worry about having enough. He said this before Costco. He said this before Amazon. He was telling a group of people that relied upon their crops. They relied upon their land. They relied upon their fishing nets. Man, when he was saying, don't worry about having enough, I would have thought in that setting and in that day, they would need much more faith than we would need in our day. Wouldn't you think about that? When they are anticipating the need from just having provision from their land or even their own work. So if Jesus expected them to not worry that they could do this, I expect He expects you and I do not fear the thought of not having enough. How's that? Well, how do we face the fear of not having enough? Let's take a look. Number one, from the passage here, understand your life is more than physical things. Let's look at verse 25. I'm back there. Just a portion of that, the latter portion, 25. Isn't life more than food? And your body more than clothing? It's a rhetorical question. It's like, obviously, yes. But it's interesting to know, because you could literally intellectually agree, but I find that in our circles, there can be those drawing where people all of a sudden is like, yeah, my life is more than the house I live in. My life is more than the car I'm driving. My life is more than the job I work at. Certainly, I agree my life is more than the money I've invested in my portfolio. But things can try to drive a person in the opposite direction. And we need that reminder, your life, my life, is much more than physical things. Now, why is that important? Why does Jesus even bring that up? Because people start to fear when those things that are physical start to define our life. Because those things that are physical, that you can see, that you can touch, those are temporary things. That's important. There's something in the human nature that says, I think that might leave me one day. Well, naturally, we're just passing through this planet. But 2 Corinthians, you can write that down, 4 verse 18, says that those things that we see are temporary. The things that we don't see are eternal. That's a reminder that Jesus is saying, man, every physical thing that you see can be lost. That's why He's just setting our hearts in motion. And that people start to fear that they might be losing that or something taken away. So if when we place high value on something of a physical possession, our fear and anxiety only increases. And it's important for us, once again, to remind ourselves of the words of Jesus. Even a church, Hope Chapel is wonderful. We have resources. We're so blessed by God. But the church is not made up of our possessions or our structure. We know that to be the case. It does not define us as a church. That's why God in His Word, right here in our passage, is saying, listen, we are more than just stuff. We are spiritual and we are relational. Those two are the important thing. So well, let's make sure that we focus on that. It is. I remember, don't you? You can write down in Mark chapter 12, verse 29 to 31. Person came up and said, hey, Jesus, Master, what is a priority? What's the most important? And Jesus said, listen, God and others. Isn't that amazing? Spiritually, it's all about God and others in our relationship with others. Jesus was making that. So it's important for us that our life, we would want to say, in what way? What is driving us? What is driving you? What's pushing you to say, this is so important, I'm going to just pour my whole life into that? So we need to pause and ask our question. What really is important? Life is more than what we physically possess. And as we recognize that that is not where it's at with the physical, you can see that we can face the fear of not having enough. Let's look at number two. You are more valuable to God than His creation. Now, that's important to see that there. You are more valuable to God than His creation. And He says that in verse 26. Join me once again, Matthew 26 of chapter 6. Look at the birds, He says. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Another rhetorical question. The audience would say, well, yeah, certainly, certainly. But it is interesting to note, because Jesus looks at how really recognizing God takes care of things, and He brings our attention to that. And He says, look at the animal and plant life, really. I mean, the animals, they're not plowing. They're not harvesting. They didn't make barns to store up their food. They're not doing any of that. But God provides for them. God cares for them. And Jesus is saying to you and to me, you are far more valuable than they. Would you even, if there's somebody with you right now, or even just speak that to yourself, I am far more valuable to God than all of creation. Say that, would you? I am far more valuable to God than creation. That's important for us to agree upon. Why? Well, if you don't recognize that God doesn't really care for you, you're going to be tempted and stressed out to say, well, it's up to me to provide for me. That's what He's trying to say. That's what the Word of God is saying to you, that God cares for His creation. God provides for His creation. He will care for you because you're even more important. He will provide for you because you are far more important than His creation. But if we really don't believe that God cares for us, then we're going to fear lack. It's going to be up to us. Now, there will be those that will say, well, God helps those who help themselves. I've heard that growing up. I just want you to know that is not in the Bible. That is not even a Bible verse. That isn't even biblical. That's not even a biblical principle. It's actually the opposite. God helps those that really need saving, that really need help. And He knows our daily needs. It's important for us. So if you place all your weight and responsibility on providing for yourself because you're so nervous about lacking and not having enough for those rainy days, then you're going to find yourself, like so many others, overworked. You're going to find that area where you're overstressed. A person becomes a workaholic. It literally drives a person's decision because they need to acquire, they need to stockpile, they start to hoard. Would you just ask somebody that, in your opinion, they have a lot, and ask them this simple question: are you happy now that you have a lot or sufficient, according to what I see? They might say, oh, yes, but in our heart, there's something within every human tendency that just a little bit more than I have. I'm just not sure. You never know. There could be that area. I don't have peace of mind quite yet. I need to continue on. So that's why we want to make sure we put our confidence not in our portfolios, but in the person of Jesus Christ. He's saying some things to us, and I'm so glad he provides for us. That is the history of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It is amazing. I remember in 2003, we call it the March Miracle. This building that has been established in 1946 and some renovations in 1966, long before I arrived. But we needed such repair, deferred maintenance, they call it. And we had a complete remodel here. It was beautifully done. Ainsley and I and our three children, we were living in the parsonage next door. And then things just started to expand. In 2005, we developed what's called the Reach Upstairs for our youth ministry. We continued on from the grassy front yard that I would mow. It became a beautiful courtyard in 07. We did just a build out with regards to a beautiful kids' cove next door. The parsonage is now our children's center. And it's amazing. That happened in 2019. And it's just been wonderful. We did all of that throughout the years by still planting churches and sending missionaries and supporting missionaries. Matter of fact, how God provides it continues to build the faith of everybody in Hope Chapel, because even during 2020, when things were locked down, was the second largest missions giving and sending Hope Chapel has done, given over $145,000 to missions. God is so rich and wonderfully assuring our hearts that he is not restrained by any form of worldwide pandemic. God works in miraculous ways. I just wanted to share the story, go down a little bit of memory lane. It builds faith. It's amazing. America in its natural beauty, that God says, I take care of it. California, the western coastline, all the way up to Oregon, even Washington. You take a look at that, so beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. What we have in this state, our mountains, our streams, our valleys, our oceans, our beaches, the desert, the high desert. And God is saying that you are much more valuable than all of that. You are. That's important. He would sacrifice it all for you. I believe that. That's the beauty of God. He takes care of all of creation, but he'll certainly take care of you. God loves you. God cares for you. Number three, this fear makes us look and act like the world. The fear of not having enough makes us look and act like the world. Look at verse 32. I'm back at Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Now let's look for a moment, because it's interesting. It's a stark contrast that should be with the world. But because we start to spend our time chasing temporal things, we start to think and look, maybe even act like the world. That's what Jesus is saying. Hey, watch out. Watch out. We're here to bring hope to the world, aren't we? You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world, aren't you? Jesus said, well, don't work hard to be that. He says, you are. You are already the salt of the earth. But we have to be careful because that fear of not enough will cause Christians to start to behave like unbelievers. There becomes, can you imagine, you wouldn't even be able to have the mental bandwidth to say, God's going to use me globally, even locally, because we're so wrapped up, like the world is, in temporary things. When you see that happening with, we are needing to elevate the involvement of our volunteers since our church is moving back indoors. We've had a wonderful season. Last several months of being outdoors under a very large tent. It's been great, but we're moving things indoors, so needing volunteers. But we always know every now and then you'll have individuals that say, well, listen, and they'll use their busyness, their busy business, to say, Lord, I cannot volunteer. Time out. I don't have the time to serve. I really am not able to really volunteer. I'm too busy. Why? Because sometimes we pursue, like the world, temporal things. So we have to be careful. Boy, when God's wanting to move in your life, remember those days? Maybe it's happening to you right now. God wanting to move in your life, wanting to say, let's take what you have known, let's take hold of what you have researched about me, and let's put it into action and share it. Just share it. Well, again, time out, God. I'm too busy. I don't have the time, really, because I'm chasing material things like the rest of the world. But God calls us to serve him, to follow him. That's where I like all of a sudden, if you look for a moment here, let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, just for a moment. And you can see that on your screen. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, Scripture says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's pretty great. The reason we look like the world is we're literally thinking like the world. That's what Jesus is saying. Be careful. Be careful about that. Learn the voice of our gentle shepherd, Jesus. Be careful about that. There is plenty of the voice of the world that's going around. And Jesus is trying to say, listen, if you'll learn to hear my voice, learn to follow me, wow, you're going to see some wonderful change taking place. There is no shortage of resources in the kingdom of God. I want to just highlight that. Let's take a little breath and say, well, if I don't supply my own needs or for the family, who will? There is no shortage. There is no scarcity in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of this world, everybody looks at it and says, yeah, there's only so much to go around, but not so with God. You remember the feeding of the 5,000? Sure, everybody's familiar with it. You might want to write down even Luke chapter 9, verse 10 through 17, but the feeding of the 5,000 is in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's great because you remember the story. Jesus was teaching about the kingdom, that there's no lack in the kingdom. It wasn't just a story that I'm going to do a miracle. Listen, every miracle has something profound that is beyond comprehension, but the multiplying of food. And the scripture says it was 5,000 men, specifically Matthew writes in chapter 14, verse 21, 5,000 men plus women and children. How many people? 5, 10, probably 15,000. And what happens? Jesus is teaching. He's healed everybody. People are gathered, and the disciples said, hello, Jesus, it is late. And these people need to be released. Please dismiss them to go into the village to buy themselves food. Jesus says, well, you feed them. Can you imagine? Well, hello, what? How could that possibly? They're thinking this earthly, not enough mentality. They're thinking that, well, there's not enough food. There's not enough provision. How much money? I don't have enough money. There's not enough time, the resources. And Jesus says, well, what do you have? Well, we have these five loaves and these two fishes. And listen, it wasn't the loaves in those days. It wasn't like Dave's killer bread loaf. It's like five little biscuits. And then Jesus blesses it. They'll tell them to sit down in 50s or so. And they distribute the food and it multiplies. Wow, that is amazing. And then they gather up 12 basketfuls of fragments. What a miracle. What God was saying, what he's saying today is that in the kingdom of God, there is no lack. That's how you and I have to consider, where are we going to prioritize? How are we going to really place ourselves in the kingdom of God where there is no lack? Or are we going to just focus in on the temporal, the kingdom of this world where we know there's only enough to go around? That's important. Jesus says to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, I will supply every bit of your needs. It's a kingdom lesson for you right now. Kingdom lesson. I love the story about our missionaries we sent, Don and Sandy Godwin, to plant Hope Chapel Rosarito in Mexico about 5 years ago for a Christmas setting. It was boxes of blessing and stockings with children's toys and candy right there in Vista Marina. And many of our congregants were down there to distribute the stockings. It was well over about 400 stockings. They had about 100 boxes of blessings, groceries, and they brought pizza. They knew they had enough for 150 pieces of people to at least get a piece of pizza. 400 plus people showed up. They were concerned. They are handing out pizza slices out of the back of the trucks, and the pizza multiplied. Isn't that amazing? They're still talking about it today, and they had pizza pieces left over in the boxes. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the multiplication of the food was not just to say, okay, let's talk about this for a little Sunday school lesson. It's trying to tell you something, that in the kingdom of God, don't worry about what you'll need. God is able to supply. Well, let's take a look at number four. Prioritize God's kingdom in your life. Well, here we go. We look at verse 33. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I sure like that. God will give you everything you need. Do you believe that? That's an important statement. God is saying you need to seek, you need to prioritize, you need to seek the kingdom of God. Can you see that verse says above all else? Say above all else. Above all else, I need to seek the kingdom of God. It is a radical statement. It is not just somebody saying, I'm called to the ministry, I need to do that. If you want to go for an amazing journey, it is to say, I am going to prioritize the kingdom of God in my life. That is important. Anyone here ready to make that change? Anyone here? Because some of us might say, I don't know, I'm a little nervous about change. Most people don't like change, because we just don't know what's on the other side. Well, you just don't know our wonderful Savior, Jesus. How many know what heaven is like? Why do you still want to go to heaven since you've never been there? One day you will be if you're a believer in the redemption that's found in the cross of Jesus. But I'll tell you, there is a greater journey even now here on this planet when you prioritize the kingdom of God. Jesus says, make sure you seek the kingdom that has no lack. There's no scarcity in the kingdom of God. So what that literally means is that you and I have to change allegiances from just being a pursuer of this planet to the pursuer of the kingdom of God. Change your focus. Can you do that? Can you even just say, I want to, oh Lord, I long to do that, oh Lord, but Holy Spirit, help me. That's the joy of being baptized in the Holy Spirit power. I will live for God. I will seek the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus encouraged us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, your will be done. There is no lack in the kingdom of God. Above all else, this really isn't an option. It really isn't. If a person is going to increase and enjoy the kingdom of God, I hope that's your heart's desire. I'm telling you, we are facing the fear of not having enough. Face on. You say, well, what does it mean to be a kingdom seeker? I'm going to give you, here they are, some pretty simple, plain examples. Letter A, we seek God's kingdom with our time. That's it. Can you see that there? You make time for kingdom things. I want to know about the kingdom. Well, that means reading your Bible. That means praying. Make time for the kingdom. Because everybody can say, you know, okay, theoretically, I'm all about seeking the kingdom. Well, here's how. We're taking a look at that. You will seek him while serving the needs of others. That's how you make time. You're looking for needs. Hey, if you're here at Hope Chapel and you see a wad of paper that's on the ground and you can walk past that, you're not really looking for needs because that paper of trash on the ground represents a need. Just want to throw that out there. You are making time to prioritize. Let's look at letter B. We seek God's kingdom in our relationships. That's another way. If you're going to prioritize, if you're going to change your focus, it's going to show. Because kingdom relationships are all about loving. Jesus himself came along in John 13, 35. Remember when he says, listen, this is my request. It's a command. You're going to love each other the way I loved you. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples. You're my followers by your love for one another. I will allow then for God to teach me to love others. That's kingdom pursuit. The Lord will show me how to learn to forgive better, how to withhold any time when I feel that element to gossip, how I want to be a uniter, not a divider. That's the beauty of just loving people and being with them. I'll be a peacemaker. Lord, show me how to peacemaker. I'm not about division. Lord, I want to pursue, Lord, right decisions. Don't let me be judgmental. Boy, right relationships. I just learn to be more like Jesus. That's about the kingdom. That's the beauty of that. So, what do you say about your time? Is it investing and looking and understanding the kingdom? What do you think about your relationship with other Christians? It's the beautiful, how can we be blessed by doers of the word if we're not around anybody that practices doing the word with us? And letter C, we seek God's kingdom in our values. Our values start to change. When you start to place your heart in what Jesus is saying, seek first the kingdom of God above all else. What does that mean? Man, your values start to become those values that you know are important. I have different values now than I did, but prior to really understanding the beauty of the kingdom of God where there's no scarcity, where God says, I will provide everything for you. All of a sudden, I changed. My value is more on eternal things than temporal. My value, and so should your value, be more on humility over pride or self-sufficiency. Lord, I don't want to be self-sufficient. I want to be God-dependent. Lord, I want to be dependent upon you. If you don't show up, man, it's just not going to be that great of a day. I want to learn more on eternal, those internal elements of riches as opposed to external show and tell kind of a stuff. It's important. I want to be the kingdom pursuer. And I know that's your heart's desire. Above all else, your values will change. Letter D, we seek God's kingdom with generosity. Finally, it's amazing. This one, that's where we face the fear of not having enough head on. Shaboom. When we become generous, generosity really is, it's a value. It becomes a lifestyle. It's not a, well, I'm feeling motivated. The speaker really revved my motors. I think I can cut a check for so much. It's a lifestyle of being generous, especially when you feel the Lord speak to you about something or someone. We grow in that. It's a wonderful thing to hang around generous people. You just know that they understand how the kingdom flows, and they don't worry and fear about having enough because God's the one that resourced them. Would you check with me for a moment? Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, "Give and you will receive." Just look at that line. "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap." Boy, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. So when you operate and live in God's kingdom, because you will never lack. It's an amazing thing. That's what Jesus is trying to describe to us, and we're facing that fear of not having enough. What an important thing. We're called as sons and daughters of God, we're called to freedom, not to bondage, not to hoard, not to feel like it's up to me because I don't think God's really, I don't know how he's going to provide for us, so I just need to make it happen. We don't even slow down enough to say, "Lord, I want to pursue you and hear from you." World's kingdom, man, that is a area where there's scarcity, and it looks like, and you talk with people enough, they'll tell you why they're dreading the future. They'll tell you why they're dreadfully afraid. They see what's happened as they look at media and posts about people that are living in desolation. Not so for those that trust in the Lord. So as we wrap this up, I want to just ask you right now, as we have been in this series of ours, ask that question, "Lord, is there anything that I am pursuing wholeheartedly that is driving me because I'm concerned that those things can be taken away?" Remember, temporary things that we see, physical things, will one day all be lost. And we know that. And don't let that trouble you. God, who provided it in the first place, can bring it back or multiply it, but let's pursue the kingdom of God. Let's just think for a moment. "Lord, what am I afraid of? What's causing me to work over work?" Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this day, not only that we are just celebrating how you brought wonderful care to us through our parents, Mother's Day, but that, Lord, you are allowing us to know that you, as a good parent, have resourced us all the days of our life. And Lord, we're so sorry when we come and we start to doubt you and start to worry that somehow you are not mindful of us, that we really don't matter to you anymore. Lord, we repent and we come as if you were welcoming us onto your lap and embracing us once again. We love you, God. We're grateful for your care. We see something about the love of God for all life, but especially human life. And Lord, I pray now for you to move right now into the homes and into the lunch break rooms, that those who are watching, maybe even on their smart devices and their automobiles, Lord, work to reassure them that they are not left behind, that they do not have to worry about somehow going without. You will not only care for them, but bring the reality of eternal life through Jesus. Lord, we surrender our lives to you today. Above all else, we want to pursue the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, for washing us clean and preparing our hearts to be blessed by you. The kingdom of God where there is no scarcity. Kingdom of God where there is an abundance of freedom, no longer bondage. Lord, bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for joining me today. It's been perfect. And the setting and the ideal with which Jesus addresses where we're at today, God will fulfill his promise to you. I'm looking forward to you sending me emails. Please go ahead and address that, would you? Let me know. I want to just highlight, today is our Mission Sunday. We service about 13 missionary and ministry units. Would you please consider just following right after this message ways that you can contribute to the ministry of Hope Chapel and how we distribute to the needs of so many who are working hard in other nations and even around our community to bring life and health and wholeness to others. So God bless you today. Thank you for joining me. I'm looking forward to our time next Sunday. Bye-bye. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.